Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up throughout America and earned a BS degree in hotel administration from the University of Nevada. He's worked most every job there is in a hotel and is the CEO and founder of Hotel Investment Services, Inc. This is a hotel, conference center, and golf course development and management company with over 1,000 employees. He believes that he has been severely blessed by God. His name, Ron Wilson. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Ron Wilson, the CEO and founder of Hotel Investment Services, Inc., HIS. Ron, welcome, an honor to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood throughout America and Central America and your parents?
Well, I think I did a terrific job in picking my parents. I was born in Los Angeles to Bev and Gil Wilson. My dad was a Los Angeles City policeman, and my mom was a photographer in Hollywood. Actually, my parents met both as being photographers. During World War II, my dad's commanding officer was actually Ronald Reagan, and my dad served as a combat photographer overseas, and wouldn't you know it, on his 25th mission, when he was allowed to go home after that, he got shot down and started quite a little adventure for him then. I was born in Los Angeles. We moved up to San Francisco and then on to Denver, Colorado, and to Northern Colorado to a small town called Fort Collins, where I attended junior high and high school. I have three older brothers, Greg, Dennis, and Randy, and we were a fast pack of guys. We did everything together. We got in trouble together. We celebrated together, and to this day, we are very much involved in each other's lives and are the best of friends.
Ron, what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom and the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
My parents truly are, as Tom Brokaw's book indicates, the greatest generation. I believe that. From my mom, I learned the art of hospitality. No matter who we brought home or what we brought home, my mom was more than willing to accept anyone and anything into our home, and that included a wide range of friends. It included a boa constrictor, it included a duck, a hooded rat, a turtle, and you name it, we brought it home and kept them as pets and all our friends. So my mom was great at hospitality. From my dad, I learned integrity and the intrinsic value of hard work and a job well done, and that we should never be afraid to take a challenge, to take a risk for fear of failure, but the important thing was to stay engaged.
How did you fall in love with the hotel business, Ron Wilson?
Well, when I was in high school, I was not a particularly good student. I actually graduated from high school in Fort Collins with a 1.6 GPA, which is somewhere around an F plus or a D minus. I was sitting in Latin class, pulling another solid F, and noticed a piece of paper on the floor, turned it over, and it was an announcement to go to the auditorium to learn about being an exchange student. So anything to get out of Latin class, I went to the auditorium and found out about this program to be an exchange student and thought this would be an absolutely fantastic idea. There was one small problem, Jack. The requirement on the application required you to have a 3.5 grade point average. Well, I had a 1.6. That's when I learned to talk my way into things, which sometimes have served me well and sometimes haven't. But ended up going to Ecuador and lived in Quito, traveled around the entire country, sailing around the Galapagos Islands, and fell in love with the idea of hotels because I used to hang out in some of the major hotels in Quito, in the main city. And I would watch people come and go, and the front desk clerks speaking different languages, the barbershops that used to be in hotels, and people getting haircuts, and wondering about where, how they processed all the food, where all the trash went, how did they wash all those sheets. And my dad mentioned to me over lunch one time after I got back about a friend of his that traveled around for one of the major hotel companies opening up hotels. And I thought, this is perfect. I love to travel. I love hotels. And that's how I got into the business. The waitress that overheard our conversation at lunch said her nephew went to the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And my first reaction was, people live there. Then I made contact with the university. They indicated to me that my grades were just a little bit low. And if I were a resident, they had a program that you could get in under probation. So I moved there, went to work, got a job as a busboy, and became a resident, and then went on into the University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
Ron Wilson, looking back to your year at Ecuador, what's the biggest thing that people taught you?
The sense of family. There, at that time, this was in the early 70s, there was not really any commercialization of that country particularly. It's not big on the radar screen of many travelers. So families and how they stuck together, everything they did together, the dynamics of extended family and travel. So I really had an appreciation for the nuclear family, as it were.
We're talking to Ron Wilson. When we come back, we'll ask him how it was in 1989 he started his own business. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
We're talking to Ron Wilson, who in 1989 started Hotel Investment Services, Inc., HIS. Ron, how did that come about?
After graduation, I worked for a large, well, the largest management company in the country at that time, based out of Dallas, Texas, and was transferred around to various locations from Dallas up to Michigan, where I met Roxanne, and then back to Kansas City, South Kansas City, to Arlington, Texas, to Miami, Florida. And at that time, we wanted to start a family. My next position in the company, I was a general manager at that time of the Airport Regency Hotel in Miami, and my next position would have been of a regional vice president, which would have required me to have 20-some hotels in five states, and you're never home, and I really didn't want to do that. My wife's family, obviously from Plymouth, Michigan, and I thought it was important that we should live by one of our parents, either hers in Southeast Michigan or mine in Northern Colorado. There happened to be more opportunities in Southeast Michigan hotel-wise, so I was up here visiting a friend, and he introduced me to a headhunter who was searching for a director of hotel investments for a real estate development company out of Birmingham, Michigan, to which I was introduced to this person, applied, got the job, and worked for this organization for about 3 years, running their hotel division. And at some point, I thought that this is something I can do myself. I have some ideas on what I'd like to do and with different aspects of how hotels are run and how to develop hotels. And quit my job, and we lived off our savings, and I started HIS. And about the time my savings ran out, we got our first hotel, which was a bank foreclosure from what was then Michigan National Bank, a little hotel in Howell, Michigan. And through just the blessing of God and staying engaged, we've grown that company to 13 or 14 hotels now and over 1,000 employees located. We've done projects from Honolulu to New York City.
How's business been the last year and a half, Ron Wilson?
That comes to the severely blessed question. As God has provided great opportunities for me in the field that I am in, and great highs, but also over the last 18 to 24 months, as we all know, being in Southeast Michigan and just generally in a national economy, it's been very, very difficult. 2009 was a year to forget, but we were presented with many, many challenges through the declining economy that affected everyone. And we made us a better, leaner, stronger company, made our hotels stronger hotels. And we are now seeing an increase in occupancy levels and rates, and business is definitely coming back in Southeast Michigan and basically across the United States as well.
In prepping for this show, you have the shortest mission statement and the shortest vision statement I've ever seen in a business. What's your mission statement?
Do all things with integrity. I wanted to keep the two things simple. Is if all of our associates, all 1,000 plus people in that call HIS home, if they will simply do all things with integrity, to do what is right, to let your yes be yes, to let your no be no, really the rest of it takes care from there. Any client, any guest will recognize a man or woman of honor when they say they're going to do something for a wedding reception or a business meeting or what type of room they're going to stay in, when they make a reservation or how they want their eggs cooked. If you fulfill that objective, that it comes back to integrity. Do what you say you're going to do.
The vision statement, know what's right and do it.
Again, real simple. Companies try and outsmart themselves by having elaborate mission and vision statements, and we wanted to keep ours simple. There were arguments or discussions within our company, and I said, no, this is what I want. And our know what is right and do it, again, comes back to it's very simple to understand. Be good at what you do and do what is right.
You put your money where your mouth is, Ron Wilson. That means that wherever possible, where you have the say, no pay-per-view adult movies, and employees, no harsh language in front of the guest or behind the scenes. That seems naive. You're leaving a lot of money on the table.
Well, we try and honor God in all we do, and when you're doing that, you're never leaving anything on the table. And what the world may say you should do or not do, or how you're measured, I'm not really interested in that. I'm interested, as a follower of Jesus Christ, what is right in God's eyes, according to God's word, according to his ways. I tell people that the use of profanity is an empty mind trying to express itself. There's no reason to use profanity. It doesn't accomplish anything. I think we're called to be stewards of the hotel assets that are entrusted to, that we are entrusted to run, and we need to take that very, very seriously. So if I want to make sure that all of my associates know what is right and do it and do all things with integrity, that has to start with me. And I don't know of any other company that would have 88 channels of pornography at the workplace. This radio station doesn't. General Motors doesn't. Ford doesn't. William Beaumont Hospital doesn't. Well, why should a hotel have it? Why should you go there? I was in Miami last week, and I was staying at a nationally branded hotel, one of the big three, and I clicked on the TV, and there were 88 hardcore pornographic movie choices. I looked at the family offerings, there were 20. And there's just something wrong with that when you put that type of trash in your hotel and then you expect your associates to work and perform at a very high level. I want people to know that that work at HIS, that call HIS an employment home, that they don't have to make excuses of why they work here. And when they go home to their mom and dad or son or daughter or husband or wife, they don't have to say, this is great, or I just hate this part, or I'm challenged here, or I don't like this, because it creates a climate of inappropriateness. And I think if it starts with at the top that we can eliminate these type of things and create a positive work environment, then people, the very best people, will be attracted to those environments. And we do indeed have the very best associates in the business.
You speak very eloquently about why you don't have the adult movies. You've got 13 properties, hotels. If somebody comes down and says, hey, where are the adult movies? And you've got this person at the front desk, what do you hope that they say?
Well, I would hope that they would say that that is not something that we feel is appropriate for this level of hotel, and that there are many other hotels that do that if you should so desire that type of an amenity. But we think the true amenity is not having it. And in fact, we pointed out to the meeting planners that come through our hotels that we don't do this, and we find it as being a legitimate sales point.
Ron Wilson, the Ritz-Carlton has a fabulous reputation. They're the benchmark for a lot of industries. Why have they been so successful? What's their secret?
It starts with their mission statement, I believe, of ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. And everyone in my industry should co-opt that saying. It's appropriate. It's proper. It's knowing what is right and doing it. It's doing all things with integrity. If you have an environment that allows you to employ ladies and gentlemen, they will be ladies and gentlemen serving the clientele that will stay at your hotel. But it has to start at the top, and it has to be a holistic approach to everything you do. We're all driven by a profit motive, to be sure, but there are intrinsic values that we have to address as well.
We're talking to Ron Wilson, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Ron Wilson, and he was a deacon at Woodside Bible Church for a number of years. Ron, you're a disciple of Christ. You try to live by his teachings. What's the biggest thing that Jesus teaches us about running a business?
That's a terrific question. I think it starts with stewardship and being a follower of Jesus Christ, whether you're Catholic, Baptist, Episcopalian, or whatever. I count myself as a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to have great fidelity to his word, to his ways, and be guided by his wisdom. I think where that comes in is when we were talking previously about how business has been, is during the difficult times, again, this is all part of being severely blessed, is how do you get through the dark times? What's involved in that? And we need to deal with anxiety, worry, fear, and there is many avenues in the Bible, specifically Psalm 34:4, that says, "Seek the Lord, he will answer you and deliver you from all your fears." And whether it's Matthew chapter 6 or Luke chapter 12 about anxieties and that it's a sin to be worried, what has taught me is in the dark times is that similar to Jonah, who as you may know was the one swallowed by the big fish or the whale, as some people say, when God had told him to go to Nineveh and to preach a revival there, he went the other way and God threw him into the water and he was swallowed up by a great fish. But he said in the second chapter that I called out to the Lord out of my distress and he answered me. What's interesting is Jonah's prayer is not a request to be saved from the fish, but is a thanksgiving for being saved by the fish. And what being a follower of Jesus Christ has taught me is that in the very darkest of times, those dark times may not be so dark because they may actually be the way out, or it is what God is trying to teach me. And this goes back to my comment of being severely blessed. There is equal challenges during the hard times as there are during the good times. We have to be stewards of when times are good, and we have to be cognizant of what we're learning when times are bad. And getting through the bad, we deal with pain, worry, fear, sleep, family relations, self-worth, bad dreams, you just can't seem to wake up from. But again, I turn back to the Word of God, to many sayings and verses, and as I mentioned on Psalm 34, we truly need to seek Him, and He tells us He will answer us and He will deliver us from all our fears. But you have to stay in the game. You can't just give up. When things get difficult, when persecution comes about, when customers leave you, when banks foreclose on you, whatever it is, whatever the malady is, stay engaged, stay on your knees in prayer, be in the Word, and do what it says. And those times will pass, and those learning opportunities will serve you well, as I know they have served me enormously well during the darkest of times, so I thought, were actually times of my greatest learning experiences.
I'm hearing more and more people say the Republicans don't have the answer, the Democrats, the Green Party people don't have the answer. The only answer is that as a country, we get on our knees and pray to God for America. How do we do that, Ron Wilson?
That's exactly right. And I think I pray for a revival, for an awakening of this country. This is truly the greatest nation on earth. And I think that if we stay engaged, if we live our lives according to the Word of God, and that we have great fidelity to the Word of God, that we are plugged into the Word of God through church, through Bible studies, through accountabilities. I have a great friend, Andy Melia, who's my accountability partner, and we bounce things off each other and problems with each other, and we hold each other accountable that are we in God's Word? Are we living our lives as godly men? Are we being proper heads of our families, husbands, fathers? And it's many items that get us to this position of building this country, this awakening that I'm talking about. And if we can do that through not vacating the Word of God, not dumbing down the Word of God, but embracing it, running towards it, this country will be even greater than it is now.
Some people would say, Ron Wilson, it's fine for you to believe what you believe, but don't go telling me what I should do. What do you say about that?
Well, in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's not what Ron Wilson thinks. What does the Word of God say? And it says, that is the only way. That is the only way we are going to get to the end game, so to speak, to get across the finish line, to finish well, to fight the good fight, as St. Paul said. And again, it's so basic. It's so simple. It's keeping the Word of God in front of you, being plugged into your local church, and not being susceptible to this secular psychobabble, the fad du jour of what people are trying to push other people into, but just great fidelity to the Word of God.
You say that people should go to the rodeo whenever they can. Why?
The rodeo is a great euphemism for life. My wife Roxanne and I love to go to the rodeo. We've taken my mother-in-law Marge to the rodeo. We're season ticket holders in Wyoming for Cheyenne Frontier Days, and we never miss the rodeo at Frontier Days. In a rodeo, one is the competition is There's no way to fix the competition. There's no way to have an off day. The cowboy, if you will, represents who we are, and the conditions that we can't control are maybe represented by the bull in a bull riding contest. Only half of that equation has rules. The cowboy has to stay on for 8 seconds, has to keep one arm up, all these other things. The bull has no rules. And the bull is trying to kill the cowboy, and the cowboy is trying to stay on the bull. And if we pull that into our life situation, we are the cowboy in that. There are many things trying to kill us. There are many things trying to take us off the right path. But if we do our very, very best and are very good at what we do, we will get the gold buckle.
James Owen has written a book, Cowboy Ethics, What Wall Street Can Learn from the Code of the West. 10 main points. Live each day with courage. Take pride in your work. Always finish what you start. Do what has to be done. Be tough but fair. When you make a promise, keep it. Ride for the brand. Talk less and say more. Remember that some things aren't for sale. Know where to draw the line. When you get back to basics, you're grounded. Why is that, Ron Wilson?
Well, I actually have both of these books and have read them. And there's a saying in one of them that James Owen puts out that says he's all hat and no cattle. And you can look the part. You can be what on outwardly appearances is a God-fearing person trying to live for Jesus Christ. But unless it's in your heart, unless you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, unless you're living it, walking the walk, you're all hat, no cattle. You need to have both sides of that equation to really be, in this example, the cowboy, the complete cowboy. And by the way, these are terrific books.
I'm Jack Krasula. We're talking to Ron Wilson, and when we come back, we'll ask him about surrendering to God. And this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back with Ron Wilson. Ron, I admire you for a lot of the things. You're an entrepreneur, you're a leader, but you also have learned to surrender to God. You've learned to let go and let God. How does one do that?
It all starts with my favorite verse in the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you believe that, the rest is really easy. That's the foundation upon which everything rests. Do you believe that God is the creator and sustainer of our universe? And whether you're dealing with difficult challenges in work, in your relationships, or your marriage, or whatever, you always come back to the Word of God and the foundations thereof. There's a verse in Song of Solomon, kind of an obscure book in the Bible, chapter 8, verse 7, that says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. There's the Word of God is an unending ocean of knowledge. You can be comforted by splashing at the shore as a small child would in a lake or an ocean, or you can be a deep sea diver and spend the entire life trying to explore it. There are occasions when we are presented with these challenges that appear to be no way out, but there is always a way out. It's through prayer and petition, laying these things at the foot of the throne of the King of Kings, and being focused on what your role is, what my role is, as a stewardship of hotel investment services, of my family, of being a dad, of being a son, of being a brother. We need to stay with what is aligned and what is taught to us in the Word of God.
Speaking of dealing with great challenges, a lot of husbands out there tonight, or dads, are down in the dumps and they feel like they're failures. They're letting their family down. What do you say to that?
I've actually questioned myself on many occasions, especially during the last 18 months or so, when it seems like your world's falling apart and the economy on a global basis is doing things that you can't control, and you're being affected by them because your customers are going out of business and many different things that challenge us. You come home, and my advice would be stay engaged with your family. Pray with your family. We're told to seek the Lord, to petition Him, to put these at His feet, to pray and pray often, to pray daily, to pray without ceasing, the Bible says. And if we can engage our family, still being the head of the household as a man, but yet having great lines of communication with your family, that their input is important. Had a little trick with my daughter, who's 24 now, just finishing up her master's degree at Moody Theological Seminary. And as she was growing up, when she came into the room and said, "Hey, Dad," and I happened to be watching TV, football game or whatever, I would immediately turn off the television, turn to her and say, "What, hon?" And that act let her know that whatever she had to ask or tell me was very, very important. And the same will happen if we go to our homes whenever we're having trouble and engage our family in what the issues are, ask them to pray with you and seek their wisdom. You'll be surprised at what will happen.
I pray all the time, Ron, but God doesn't answer my prayers.
He does answer your prayers, Jack. All your prayers have been answered. They just may not have been answered the way that you thought they should have. If all your prayers were answered the way that you wanted them to be answered, who's God then? Who's truly in control? Our prayers are answered, every single one of them, but they're answered according to God's plan, to His great wisdom. And as we pray, we should seek that wisdom and embrace that wisdom and pray for God's plan. No problem in saying, "God, if it be your plan, let this happen, or let me do this or not do this." But God has a plan, but we have to be faithful. As Psalm 34:4 said, "I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears." The first part of that is you got to seek Him. He can't answer or help you until you seek Him.
God has really blessed you and Roxanne many ways, one being Revee, great young daughter. I listen to a lot of parents with special daughters in their 20s, and they say, "My daughter can't find that special man." What do you say to those parents?
Well, I started praying for Revee's husband. I became a follower of Jesus Christ. I gave my life to Christ in December of 1994. And shortly after that, I actually, when she was 6 years old, I was praying for her husband. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he is. I don't know what he does, but I pray for him every single day. And if and when God brings that man to her, I know it will be the one. And she has made great decisions all her life. We literally have hit the jackpot with Revee. She is just the greatest daughter any husband and wife could have. And whether she gets married or not does not justify her as an individual of her worth, but it's her relationship with Christ that justifies her.
Ron Wilson, is the American dream still alive?
It's alive and well, even in Southeast Michigan. This is a fantastic city. This is a great state in a great country, and the glass is half full, and we need to continue to move towards staying engaged, being in the game, and being a part of the solution, as the saying goes, rather than a part of the problem. And there are opportunities everywhere. You just have to work real hard. Roger Penske once said that good luck is often disguised as hard work. And we need to just work hard. The first step of getting on your feet is getting off the couch.
As our time winds down this evening, can you lead us in a prayer to close this show out, please?
I'd love to. Thank you. Father God, we thank you that you are the creator and sustainer of our universe, that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, we pray for a great revival, a great awakening in this wonderful city, this state, this country. Father, we pray for the men and women serving overseas in our military. Protect them, Father. Provide for their provision. Provide for their families, Father, I pray. I pray for our elected officials. I pray for President Obama, Father, that he would seek your godly wisdom, that he would be on his knees seeking your ways, Father. I pray protection for his family. I pray for our governor and all of our elected officials, Father. I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around them and just give them your wisdom to do the job they have been called to do by you. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I pray for Jack and his family. I pray for WJR and the fantastic work here, Father, that your blessings would abound. I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ron Wilson, I admire for a lot of things, and I'll never forget the saying, you've been severely blessed by God. Keep making him proud every day.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.
Believe in yourself.